Everyone, this is John.
This is Warriors.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. It's going to be the mini show for the month of September 2022.
We're in September. Good job.
No, we sure are. We're halfway through. I should know this by now. But we're going to talk about whatever we damn well please. And what we damn well please is the Nintendo Direct, you guys.
That, in fact, happened.
It's a lot more exciting than Wes is making it seem.
I'm starting strong already on this podcast.
You guys
talk about politics. Straight to sleep.
I thought that was an intentional yawn as if
to say. No, it actually was not intentional.
What a Nintendo Direct, fellas. What a time to be alive.
Are you prepared for farming simulators?
Are you? Because you can have them all.
Yeah.
I actually didn't finish the Direct. So stuff on the back end is going to be new to me.
Oh.
Well, you missed a pretty big moment.
You sure did.
These kind of things they like to...
You missed 7 seconds of Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
I thought they did that in the beginning.
No. That was at the end.
Oh, I did see that.
Okay. Well, then you made it to the end.
Well, I saw it as a standalone trailer.
Oh, gotcha.
While the Direct was still going on.
Whatever. Like I just said, we didn't see much of it. It was like 7 seconds of gameplay and a title.
I feel like he jumped out off a thing into the sky.
Like, I think cumulative, what we've seen of that game might fill a 30-second trailer, which is a little bit annoying, but... Solid release date, May 12th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, what, 8 or 9?
It looks very Skyward Sword.
It's going to be interesting to see when it gets delayed, too.
It's already been delayed. Do you think there's a second delay coming?
I mean, how many times did they delay the other ones? Skyward got delayed a lot, right?
Skyward Sword got delayed a couple of times. Breath of the Wild got delayed a couple of times.
That's because they tried to make everyone look less ugly. They didn't succeed. But you know they tried.
There's like nobody bangable in that series.
Breath of the Wild, they're all children, you sick fuck.
Not all of them.
The Breath of the Wild got delayed at least the second time or third time because they were launching it with the Switch. So I don't know, a bit more understandable there. It's possible this game gets delayed again. Like, it's possible, but this is the first one we've actually had a solid day and date. This is when it's coming out. And I think that if there were another delay coming, like if they were behind at all any further with making this game, then we probably would have seen announcements for ports of Twilight Princess.
Well, they gave us a hard deadline. Mm-hmm. It's coming out May.
I do want to see a port of Twilight Princess, though.
Me too. I want Twilight Princess to be on every Nintendo system from here into eternity.
Yep.
Because it's been on 3 so far.
Yeah, we got Majora's Mask on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. We got Majora's Mask on this system. But yeah, there were a lot of rumors flying around before this thing about Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD ports coming over to Switch, which of course did not happen. It would have been silly. Like, if they're sticking with this May release date, I think it would be silly to release HD ports of other Zelda games at, November, December, 6 months before you release the new one. You're going to cause franchise fatigue at that point. So, you know, maybe these HD ports of other Zelda games happen someday, but if they're sticking with this May release date, I don't think we'll see them anytime soon. But yeah. You guys like Zelda? You like these games?
Yeah, they're okay.
I like Zelda a lot. Yeah,
you're gonna buy this sequel?
Fun series.
Yeah, maybe.
You could pencil me in for one.
It depends on how popular Tedham is at that point. Just how much the circuit is and how busy I am.
Understandable. Temtem's a pretty big deal. But yeah, like we were saying, we didn't really see much. We saw go on a glider, like Ryan, like you were saying, a bit like Skyward Sword, how you get on the loft wing, except it seems to be rather than being in a separate zone that is the sky, seems to be more continuous. You can see the details of the ground below you. So maybe this is just an alternative method of traveling other than a horse. And then we saw some sort of variation of the stasis skill. And we saw that in a previous trailer as well. But in this one, it seemed that they were using the stasis in some form to... basically make a boulder an elevator and take it up to a higher location. We don't know much. We don't know if they're going to be reusing geography on the ground below. It looked like you could see some similar geographical features. Hyrule Castle, Death Mountain, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we don't know if those are going to be actual, that's just backdrop, or if those are going to be locations you actually go to, if it's going to be all new terrain.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, it could be the sort of thing where it's down in the future, like, it's maybe the areas resemble what we saw from the first game, but they all look totally different. That kind of stuff could happen.
Maybe.
You never maybe. Know. Never know.
So let's go rewind. Let's go back to the beginning of this Nintendo Direct. They talked about a lot of games. Farming games. There are a few of those farming games in here.
Oh, God.
But they For what it's worth, apparently PlayStation had a Direct, too. Mm-hmm. I guess they felt a little threatened, so like, why don't we release a Direct?
Yeah, they did a, they call it a State of Play.
State of Play.
Which, yeah, whatever.
For as much as people were making fun of, like, all of the farming games in this Direct, like, every one of the PlayStation games looks, like, the same.
Yeah,
they're all just these action.
Oh, was Power World mentioned? I got it.
No Power World. But the State of Play, and I did watch some of the State of Play. Like, if you are really into open world action RPGs, they got you covered.
Yeah, it's like. But again, it's sort of like they're all gonna be held up to Breath of the Wild, anyways. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, one of them looked like their Horizon games, but with mechs, which was kind of cute.
Yeah, yeah, it's sort of like pick your, pick your niche flavor of thing. Mm-hmm. Do you want, like, the God of War thing? Or
there was one that...
medieval stuff? Do you want futuristic stuff?
There were a couple that reminded me of that game Wes talked about, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But whatever, fuck those games. They're not coming to Switch. What is coming to Switch?
I like those games.
Fire Emblem.
They could come in cloud version. We don't know.
Oh, God.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
What is coming to Switch is Fire Emblem Engage, which is kind of a weird name, but it is a brand new mainline Fire Emblem game coming in 6 months.
Oh,
January 20th, 2023. I'm excited. Wes, are you excited?
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I recognize one of the characters in it, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's, it seems like...
Marth, right?
Yeah, they're using some sort of, like... team up with the ghosts of the past sort of system.
Yeah, it looks like instead of your character class changing by teaming up with different ghosts.
Or it could be like the team up system like in Fire Emblem Awakening.
Oh yeah, maybe, yeah.
But we didn't see a ton of actual like in-game like tactical like grid-based. So much so that as they were first revealing the trailer, I started getting like the sinking feeling that it was going to be like an action game, like a Warriors game. I was like, oh, Warriors. And then they actually finally showed the grid. I was like, oh, praise Jesus.
I mean, the main character does look like he would be in one of those ones.
Yeah, with his silly clown hair.
Yeah, he looks... like I am not okay with this main character.
Now, even if it was still a grid game, it's just every grid is like 100 by 100. And they each have a little unit in it that you have to take out.
You're starting to describe Ogre Battle, and I'm 100% on board. But yeah, I am super pumped for this. I'm so glad that they're doing another Fire Emblem. It looks like it'll have some of the things like in Three Houses where you have like your base, and that's how you're interacting with other units, which probably will become a staple of Fire Emblem for a while now.
I mean, I'm glad that they did that. It gave more in-between things, so it wasn't like you're just... one mission right after another. Like, there was stuff to do in between other than prepping for the mission.
I liked how they handled it in Three Houses, where you could do exactly what you're saying. You can go around and engage with other things, you know, do the fishing or do things like train your character classes and things like that. I also liked like how at a certain point you could just ignore it and just go from mission to mission if you felt like. I liked having that ability to be like, you know what, never mind, just get me to the next one, because that's really what I want to do.
Yeah, by the end of it, it's just, I don't give a shit, let's just do my quick training and move
on. Yeah, let's hold a quick meeting, let's let everyone research their job classes real quick, and then let's keep going.
Let's go chop somebody else's head off.
Let's see, It Takes Two is coming to Switch on November the 4th of this year. It's a game that is out on other systems.
You and Dennis probably would like that.
Yeah, I was watching. It's like a co-op like puzzle platformer kind of thing, action platformer.
Yep.
And I think you have to play the whole thing in co-op.
Yeah. So I won't be getting this because I'm lonely.
Mm.
But yeah,
we can play together if Dennis doesn't want to. But yeah, I think it looks really interesting.
We did play through Affordable Space Adventure.
Yeah, the three of us. We'll have to like pass the controller around so that we each take turns as the different characters. We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's a decent looking game. Kind of has a toy box aesthetic to it, where you're you're possessed by these doll characters, or like you become these doll characters.
I don't know.
And you got to work your way like through this household and solve puzzles and shit in order to, I don't know, transform into humans again. Oh, there's a whole like narrative conceit. I don't give a shit.
It's another game that's been out for like years, and now it's coming to the Switch.
Has it been years?
at least a year.
I'm going to do a fact check.
It's been a while. Fact check me here. It's been a while. Like, I sell it cheap right now in Target.
It came out physically?
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling the punchline is just going to be that, like, they're trapped in a loveless relationship, but they know they can't do any better, regardless of whether or not they're in doll form.
So the only way to express themselves is through, like...
I just hope that there's, like, when you fail missions, it just ends in, like, super petty arguments between the two of them. Instead of, like, watching them die in some kind of way.
I never liked your brother. Oh, how dare you.
March of last year.
Yeah. Boom.
So I technically correct years. You could use the plural.
Well, I mean, I said at least a year.
A year plus.
I said at least a year.
Okay. Still can't get Chansey on Route 12.
Oh, you dirtbag. At least I was right.
You were technically correct, or you were technically less wrong than I thought you were.
I still think there is a version that you can get one where I said.
Yeah, maybe gold, silver, or fire red, leaf green, something like that.
I think Serebii's wrong, and I should...
Serebii is never... You take that back, you motherfucker.
Serebii is wrong.
It was clear. Fire red and leaf green, the only way you could still get it was through the in-game trade.
Okay.
Just so you know. That was one thing they did not change from... I remember specifically looking this up when I was researching that question.
Are you talking about Farfetch or Chansey?
Oh, Farfetch. Talking about Farfetch.
Yeah, we're talking about Chansey over here.
Oh, I got lost there for a minute.
Okay, but what we're going to talk about now is Fatal Frame and Mask of the Lunar Eclipse. You guys are getting a second Fatal Frame game.
We were just talking about how there's not enough Fatal Frame action.
Again, we made this happen.
Mm-hmm.
We willed this into existence like Pokemon Snap.
So this one's just early 2023. We don't have a solid date for that one yet. Mask of the Lunar Eclipse is...
I love the setup where it's like she's got to find out about her past in like an abandoned mental asylum, because that's where all the information about my past is.
Of course.
Much like us. They're all in some abandoned...
Right.
In a library or a mortuary.
Or a hospital.
Or some cabin in the middle of the woods.
Or like City Hall, some sort of public records account. Yeah. I don't know.
Remote space station circling the Earth.
That'd be an amazing setting for a Fatal Frame. That's a great idea.
Okay, I'll get on it.
Tecmo Koei, call us.
Yeah, for real.
But Mask of the Lunar Eclipse, it's like, I think the third, maybe the fourth game in the series.
God, I only know of the one.
Yeah, this series started back on the PS2.
Hmm.
And Maiden of Blackwater, which was the most recent new entry, I think it was the fifth one. So this one is, I think, a remaster or a remake of a PS2 game.
But only one of them came to the U.S., right?
No, a few of them have. This one has not, which is why it's exciting, because it's like a brand new game for us, because it's the first time it's been released outside of Japan. 1 and 2 definitely did. 5, of course, did, because it came out on Wii U and Switch. 4 is another one. I think this one must be 3, because 4 is one that came out in Japan and in Europe, but we never got it in North America, because at the time... President of Nintendo of America, Reggie Fils-Aimé, didn't like the game. So he was like, no, we're not going to release it. I think it controls poorly.
What a dick.
Fuck you, Reggie.
So you say that like you do Trump. Like, just, I'm happy he's no longer in charge.
I am happy he's no longer in charge. What's he going to do? Is he going to come for me? He's not. I'm not scared of him.
He's listening, dude.
I know.
He's just going to put you on a plane and send you to Mount Vernon.
But yeah, I'm really pumped for this game. I think it looks nice. It looks creepy. I love these sort of atmospheric horror games. There's not enough of them, and now we're getting one more. Hopefully we get a physical version.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I'd like that.
If we don't, I'll have to import again, and I promise I'll get two this time.
Two copies.
Yeah,
do it right this time.
It was the last one that you didn't get the second copy. Was that failed?
Right there. There was a miscommunication. I thought we were just going to
get your own.
Yeah. Well, no, I thought I was going to like buy one and then let him
borrow it. Like, I want your sloppy seconds.
Right. It already has a save file on it.
Yeah. Like, give me my own, please.
It's been tainted.
Please and thank you.
We got some details for the Xenoblade 3 expansion Wave 2. There's a new character out October
13th. Wave 2? What was Wave 1?
Wave 1, I think, was like right at release. Like, this is a situation, a really shitty situation, where they're like, and here's the expansion pass with day 1 DLC. Stop doing that. Stop it. Yeah. I swear to God, if we get like confirmation of day 1 DLC or an expansion pass for Fire Emblem Engage before the game comes out, I'm going to write them an angry email and buy the game anyway. That's exactly what will happen. No, it's really shitty. There was a game Oh, Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, a game that's out on October 20th. There was DLC announced for that one already. A new character, like they're putting Rayman in the game, and then they're doing, I think, some specific missions. But like, here's an expansion before the game's out. Like, somebody let them know they have time to just put it in the main game. Like, it's not out for another month. You can do this.
Don't have to like charge us a bit more for the game.
No,
like,
don't do that.
It's fucked up.
No. But the Xenoblade, I will probably not be engaging with any of the Xenoblade expansion pass stuff until like it's all out, and then we'll see how the schedule aligns. Because I've already put a ton of time into that game, and other games are coming out.
See, I mean, do the typical thing, like with the new blade, new class coming out. Mm-hmm. It's blade, like it's
yeah, they're blades, like,
they're blades, whatever. But also, give me another like Torna, like give me.
I think that's
give me something of some like substance.
I think that's what they're ending with. So I think they're gonna do like two new blades, and then like at the very end of the expansion pass, there'll be like a new big story segment. Don't know if it'll be like as expansive as Torna the Golden Country, but that's kind of the structure I think that they're going for. So when it's all out, then I'll probably indulge. SpongeBob SquarePants the Cosmic Shake, you guys. It's
about time.
2023. Most anticipated game.
I said it was voiced by the original actors from the series.
Is that noteworthy? Like, is there a time where like SpongeBob was not voiced by?
I have no idea. I can't tell you.
I think we're just a little bit too
I'm just old trying to help him along, man. This is what they said in the ad. Giving you back the ad read.
I mean,
if there's any game, like, you guys really have nothing to say, we just pass.
I want them to do something extreme, like SpongeBob. Here's SpongeBob, voiced by Vin Diesel. Like, just something, just go outrageous for a moment.
But he has to, like, have helium the whole time.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel with helium.
And then Patrick is John Rhys Davies.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
The guy's versatile.
Like, I would invest in a game at that point. Be like, well, I gotta play this. You know, I just gotta.
Fitness Boxing, Fist of the North Star, March of next year.
Cool.
Another fitness game.
Yeah.
Oddballers, early 2023. It's like a dodgeball thing or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. It made me think of Fall Guys.
Yeah, it kind of has that tone to it.
They're mm-hmm. really advertising the character, how you could customize your character, but everyone just looks super schlubby.
Mm. They all look the same, slight facial hair differences. Like, that was it. Like,
just like 40-year-old white guys that have let themselves go. You know? It's kind of their whole...
This guy has a beard. This guy has mud chops. Like, they're like, all right. Well, it's the same guy.
It's a super dodgeball game. There's Durr and Wade.
Yeah, exactly.
One I really am pumped for is Tunic. That one's coming to Switch like in a couple of weeks, September 27th. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of build as a Zelda-ish type game, kind of a isometric top-down.
That one's also been out for a while.
Yeah, that one's been out for probably a year plus as well. Yeah. But yeah, really cool looking game. And the sort of hook of it is that early on in the game, you're kind of looking for like actual goals. You're not actually sure what you're supposed to be doing, but then the more you kind of poke at the walls and find little scraps of information, the more cohesive it becomes, the more momentum you build. Looks pretty fun. That sort of setup structure reminds me of something like a Hollow Knight, where at the beginning of Hollow Knight you're like, I'm not even sure if I'm going in the right direction here, but the more you get into it, the more you realize what you're supposed to be doing. I did check how long it takes to beat Tunic, and the website was saying like 15 to 17 hours, so a much briefer experience than Hollow Knight, thankfully. Let's see, we got a little bit more information on the Front Mission remakes. The first one will be out in November.
This is those mecha ones, right? These looked interesting.
Yeah, these are Squaresoft games. Mm-hmm. The 1 and 2 were for Super Nintendo. I think 3 was PS1 or PS2. But yeah, they're tactical mech games. And if I'm remembering the correct game, Front Mission 1 had like a lot of really like crunchy character stats. Like your appendages had different stats and like different equipment, and you could aim at different parts of an enemy mech. So really in depth the way that you're like... approaching an enemy. Heather, the remakes look really nice. And they also announced a third remake, which hadn't been announced before, and that one's out on TVA. I don't have a year for that one or a window for that one yet. So, yeah, those are pretty cool. Story of Seasons of Wonderful Life, fellas. You got, the first farming game on the list here. That one's out next summer.
Probably the best looking farming game that they have available.
Yeah, and this is
the most interesting.
This is a remake of a Harvest Moon game that I think was on the GameCube, but because of the weird licensing issues and naming conventions of like Harvest Moon and Story of Seasons, like this is a remake of a Harvest Moon game, but they're not allowed to call it Harvest Moon. So, yeah, there it is. The floodgates have opened. They announced the first Splatoon 3 Splatfest. The first, after the game was released. They had like a pre-release Splatfest. But on the 23rd to the 25th of this month, they'll have that their Splatoon 3 competition. So there's that. Octopath Traveler 2. Wes, I'm pumped. Are you pumped?
I'm pretty pumped. Like, I started up a new run on Octopath.
Nice.
But I only played for like 10 minutes. So I was like, all right.
And it's out on February 24th, which is a date we're going to see pop up a couple of times. Yeah, I'm really... Ryan, you never played Octopath Traveler,
correct? I have an unopened copy of it.
Why?
Yeah, I just haven't bothered to play it. I got a lot of games that I need to catch up
on. It's good, though.
Yeah, and it's good, for sure. And it's also a very lengthy RPG.
Very, very lengthy.
Yeah.
A lot of talking.
I get the general sense, though. There's a lot of talking. A bunch of different stories from rando characters that, you know, don't look like necessarily they should even be in a square kind of like RPG combat game.
Yeah, and they like the other characters, like it's weird how they do this, because you know I pay attention to stories opposed to some people, John, where they have their individual stories and then like you'll go to the town and they'll just like, I guess you can come with us, like they don't intertwine at all. And they, it's just kind of like, I guess you could come with me with my own individual thing. Like,
I'm heading to the other side of the continent, but yeah, let's travel together.
Let's go, yeah, for no reason. Like, let's just go. And then they go into their stories and they hardly address the other party members. They're just kind of like sitting there watching them do their thing. You're like, all right, let's go.
They did make a point to address that in the Octopath 2 trailer, how the stories will interconnect. So, you know, they've heard your feedback. I will still be skipping the dialogue.
I mean, there's still a lot of fucking dialogue.
It's like a Robert Altman movie, you know? It's like, I don't know, this might be a weird reference. Have you guys ever watched any of his movies? Like Nashville or anything?
Yeah. I don't know who he is.
He's like a director that directs ensemble casts. But yeah, it'll be like that, where it'll just be like all these different characters. They may only be on screen for 5 or 10 minutes, but you get 30 characters like that, you got a movie.
So,
is it interesting that they're reusing the exact same classes?
Yeah, well, it is interesting. Because they're also like sort of doing like a morality inverse. So if you remember, like in Octopath Traveler 1, there were like the virtuous characters, and then like the characters are a little bit sleazier. So like the cleric and the warrior and the merchant and the scholar, they're like your more virtuous path ones. Whereas like the thief.
No, the scholar was not virtuous.
Right, oh yeah, the merchant.
The apothecary was the virtuous version of that. So right. It essentially was four field skills that you can use, and there was like a good version and a bad version.
Mm-hmm. Or not like overtly evil, but you know, just a little bit like, as opposed to like buying something or negotiating with an NPC to get like a special piece of equipment. If you were the thief, you'd just take it.
Yep.
Or
like the apothecary was like talking to people to get information, or the scholar was like scrutinizing people and making them uncomfortable.
Yeah, kind of being thing. Condescending.
Yeah.
But yeah, and from what they're shown in the trailer here, it kind of like inverts that, where the characters who were like the sleazier ones before, those classes are now like presented as more virtuous. Yeah, and then they're still using like the naming convention where all of the characters have a first name that starts with one of the letters in Octopath. And it looks like the battle system is going to be largely very similar, where you're having to like break down the defenses of the opposing field units, the enemy units, in order to actually start getting at their HP. So yeah, really nice looking game. I really like the battle system in the first one. There's another thief character, so that's great.
That's gonna be who you pick.
Of course. If they even do that sort of thing. Like, so in the first one, you had to pick like your main character, as it were, and that character was always in the party. Maybe they do that again. Maybe they don't. We'll see.
I picked the Apothecary, mm-hmm. which by the time you get like mid to late game, he drops off really quick with damage. He's just there to cause breaks.
Yeah, the Apothecary
has multi-hit stuff.
Yeah, it was really good at breaking down the defenses. But even then, like, you also had to keep up with, like, stocking up on items.
Yeah.
You had to have the consumable things that you needed to mix together.
Yeah.
Let's see. Fae Farm. That one's out in the spring. There's our farming game number two.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing. You guys got anything?
Yep.
Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line is out February 16th of next year. It's a rhythm game. The original versions, I think there's a combination of the two, but there were two rhythm 3DS games where you played Final Fantasy music. They were pretty fun.
I mean, I think those are better on like touchscreen and stuff, so unless you're playing it in handheld mode, then it's kind of like, eh.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they had like an absurd number of songs.
Oh, yeah.
500. I had like a DLC for like 10 more songs, and I was like, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, like,
it's already got like 490 songs. You're like, by the way, if you want the additional 8 songs,
give us $10. Like, yeah, they totally like devalued like 10 more songs. It should cost like a dime each.
Yeah.
But yeah, we talked a little bit about Mario plus Rabbit Sparks of Hope already. That one's out October 20th, like I mentioned. I do want to get to this one at some point because I really like the sort of XCOM tactics of the first one. But, you know, for personal reasons, I'm going to wait a little while on this one and buy it used.
For personal reasons?
We can get into it if you want.
I mean, I'm kind of intrigued here.
Well, we've talked about this before. Ubisoft has very credible allegations of sexual assault within their company.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to judge anyone for what they want to do with their own money. Our buddy in the Discord group, Jason, brought up some good points about, like, there are more people than just rapists who work at Ubisoft. So if you want to support them, 100% go for it. I'm not going to tell anyone what to do with their money. Me, personally, I don't want to give Ubisoft money, so I'll wait and buy it used.
Yeah.
But otherwise, game looks really great. Yoshi's not in it, which is bad.
Was he in the first one?
Yes. Bowser is in it, which is good. So it kind of balances out.
Where's the random Shy Guy character?
We need that Shy Guy. We need a Dry Bones. That's what we need.
That's what we need, the fucking Dry Bones, yeah, just randomly.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, right, man. There. Dry Bones needs his own standalone game.
It's true.
What would it be?
Probably a kart racer.
I don't want Dry Bones at kart racing.
Dating sim? Rhythm platformer.
Dating sim with Dry Bones?
Oh, he's not going to say dry long. Wait, why? I don't get it.
God.
Is it Rune Factory 3 Special is out next year. There was another farming game.
Mm-hmm.
It's also action RPG. The Rune Factory game, so there is that extra element to them. This is they're doing a port of a 3DS game, which they did as well with Rune Factory 4, and then they made Rune Factory 5 specifically for Switch. So we're getting a lot of Rune Factory.
Which Rune Factory 5 didn't, like, when I know nothing about this series, but I was like, I made a note. I was like, I need to look into this game because I didn't know whether there's harvesting in this.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea about this, so now I'm skipping it, but the trailer did not look like that at all.
Right, so Rune Factory is sort of a combination of farming simulator and dungeon crawling RPG.
Yeah, I'm going to skip that then.
And they did also, like, after they showed this port of a 3DS game, they also announced, and there's going to be more coming from the Rune Factory series. Like, all right, cool, it's an announcement for a future announcement. Well done. Speaking of more things coming, we're getting a whole list of N64 games, including Mario Party 1.
I thought 1080 was in the mix.
1080, yeah, 1080 snowboarding. Mario Party 1.
There were like three Mario Parties.
Like Mario Party 2.
Yeah.
Mario Party 3. I hope they release them like, because they have a sort of pattern of doing like an N64 game a month. I hope they do like Mario Party 1, 2, and 3 right in a row. Like in November, Mario Party 1, December, Mario Party 2, January, Mario Party 3. That would be so fucking funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, Excitebike, like you were saying, Wes?
Yep, Excitebike 64.
Wave Race 64? That one, I don't know if that one was announced or already out. I'm not sure now. But, and then GoldenEye was the big one. Sort of the big surprise at the end of those three announcements.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2. Those are the other ones in there.
Mm.
But yeah, GoldenEye has got, like, online play, so you can do that if you want.
Which, I mean, if GoldenEye is there, and now you can use the other analog to look around instead of the C buttons like in the original GoldenEye.
I feel like, I don't know, it's going to be kind of lost as a feature like this, because I feel like this could have been a bigger production or a bigger thing, because there's so... So many people are so nostalgic about that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like half the people that even remember anything about the N64, the first thing they bring up is GoldenEye.
Yeah.
You know, and for there to be online GoldenEye is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of fulfills a nostalgia kick for a lot of people, or would so if they were to have it and play
fucking
it.
Fucking odd jobs everywhere.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how this is going to work. Like, it would be super funny if you're playing online, but things were still, like, split screen. Like, if you don't have, like, your own individual screen, but you're playing online with four people, and you're still able to see everyone's screen, that would be hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Because that was the thing, like, with GoldenEye. I was like,
you're in the kitchen. I'm on my way.
You'd punch your friend for screen peeking. Like, it's right there. What am I supposed to do?
Like, I can see it on my peripheral. I can't help it. You're in the big red room. I know where that is. Like, I don't...
That was always my thing with GoldenEye, is I would... For whatever reason, my brain couldn't, like, spatially connect those levels, especially ones like Facility, where everything just looked the same.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was my problem, not the games. But the controls, if I remember, for GoldenEye, like, the C-stick was, like, you're strafing. And then, like, up and down was, or the C buttons, I suppose. And then up and down was, like, looking up and down.
So, I have
to the controls
doesn't make sense of it.
No, you just you press forward to go forward, back to go back, right. And then you strafe with left and right. The C buttons were to turn left and right.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so that's a decent approximation of a dual analog. So maybe they do just go dual analog.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just, like, ship a mouse and keyboard to your house when you download it.
A mouse and keyboard? So yeah. Something that I didn't do in the first place either. It goes, like, completely different.
Actually, just finally a second use for that Pokemon Learn to Type.
Oh, there you go.
That's for the TS.
Yeah. Here we go.
Use your component for that.
Hey, do you still have that mouse and keyboard for your DS lying around? You use that for GoldenEye, too.
We got this.
Oh, man.
But you have to buy this attachment now.
You buy the DS...
transfer cable.
You get the DS keyboard, and then you get the Super Nintendo mouse. And then you get both of those. Yeah.
Could I also use the Super Scope?
Of course.
Because that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
What about the line where that we put the Wiimote in that P game?
I think all of the above. Like the Dance Dance Revolution Mario Remix Pad. Yeah. Just every peripheral you ever owned.
The bongo drums.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's see. Various Day Life is another farming game. That one got shadow dropped in the direct.
That looks so boring.
It's a Square Enix game, and once again, Square Enix, just amazing names for every single game they release.
Yeah, it's clear that they stopped trying.
Right. They have, like...
A video I saw was even making fun of the fact that they use the same font.
Oh, do they?
Octopath Traveler, it's like they didn't even come up with a second, like, logo for it. Mm. Like,
put, like, a Roman numeral 2 behind it, like, okay, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
We know who's buying this, we don't need to put an effort in. Let's see. Factorio is out at the end of October, October 28th. This was like that RTS looking game where you're like building your resource lines in order to rebuild your spaceship and shoot yourself back into space.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one looked really interesting. Mostly because of the resource gathering kind of thing. Like there's base building too. Like there's a little bit of tower defense where...
It seems like what you're building is so complex that it's not even like you're rebuilding your spaceship. It's like you've just now built an entire new civilization.
Right, that was the thing. Like, your base that you end up building is more impressive than your spaceship would have been.
Right.
So I guess you just live on this planet now.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked kind of cool. Let's see, the one after that was Ib. That one's out spring 2023. This was like that psychedelic looking, I guess it's like a top down adventure game where you like enter these paintings and you're like in this haunted museum kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, that one looked weird.
I don't know what the actual gameplay is, but I did kind of like the art style. It reminded me a lot of Omori, which is a game I talked about a couple months back. But I don't know if this is an RPG. I don't know if it's a 3D puzzle matching game. We didn't see much. We got information on an update for Mario Strikers. This is the second update. They're adding in Pauline and Diddy sometime this month. Okay.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I bought that game for a week and then realized I hadn't opened it. So I took it back to the store.
Okay.
I was like, screw this noise. Like,
did you get a different game or did you just get your money back?
I just got my money back.
Okay.
I, I was going to play this, but I was like, no, I don't care.
Now, see, that's the thing. Like, unless you are really into playing online and want to get competitive with it, it does not offer much in terms of single player. Or, you know, unless you have... And Mika didn't really get into it when I had it, so we didn't get much out of couch co-op either. And I'm not going to play online. I don't care. So I didn't get that much out of it either.
Yeah, Jeffrey was with the original one at some point was ranked number 3 in the world.
Yeah, but out of like 18.
Yeah, I know. So this is kind of like, good for him.
We're getting another Atelier Ryza game, you guys. I'm pumped. Are you pumped?
Fantastic.
Yeah, I wanted to look into this series. I never played any of them. They ain't good.
Alchemist of the End and the Secret Key.
Like, I guess they're not.
we need to address this name. We need to start at the top here. Alchemist of the
End. Oh, no, you're still on the series. Okay.
Yes. Alchemist of the End and the Secret Key. I think that's the winner for the longest name of the Direct. This one also out February 24th. There's that date again. And this series is okay. I played the second game, but there's a lot of these Atelier games that Tecmo Koei puts out. And it's an RPG at its core. You're engaging in turn-taking battles. And, you know, there are times where, like, it gets interesting. What you're doing is you're building up a lot of meters in order to get to your super attacks. And it's fine. The biggest thing that people like about the game are her thighs. But the second biggest thing that people like about the game are...
Her other thigh.
Like, the thighs, plural. Okay. They're both ranked number one. The same thing is, like, there's a lot of resource gathering. And gathering resources and mixing them together using your alchemy will open up these big skill trees. And the more you engage with that, the bigger your skill tree gets and the more stuff that you can equip and actions you can execute, that kind of thing. That's the main draw, is going out on your adventure in these open zones and just getting shit and putting it all together in your cauldron. So if that sounds appealing, then this game's got like a really heavy gameplay loop of doing that over and over again. If that doesn't sound appealing, you're probably not going to like it. I don't think the battles are enough in this game to carry it through. And we got the confirmation of the next round of courses in Mario Kart 8. That one's out in the holiday of this year. We got some new tracks for that Mario Kart game.
One seemed very seasonal. Seemed very Christmassy.
They used to do that. And like Animal Crossing used to do that. And I think they did it once in a while with like a Mario Kart game where like when the date of your console hit a certain amount, like tracks would be themed. It'd be cool if they did that more.
Yeah.
Something that is not holiday themed or seasonal is Nintendo Switch Sports Golf, which is finally coming to Nintendo Switch Sports this holiday season.
Very nice.
I really liked Wii Golf. I'll probably plug Switch Sports back in to play golf. It's fun.
Yeah, it's another one of those games where I bought thinking I was going to play a bunch with my niece and nephews. It's just been sitting there collecting dust.
I played a bunch of tennis with Mika. Mika really liked that. But it was one of those things where, you know, after we played a bunch of tennis, other games came out and it just kind of got buried underneath the stack.
Yeah.
Pikmin 4, fellas. So this is the whole production. They're like, hey, let's kick it over to Miyamoto. It's like, oh shit, Miyamoto's coming out. Here comes something big. Because he's a man famous for making video games. And then he gave some sort of explanation about the Mario movie.
Whatever, very briefly.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, we are aware that you want this.
Yeah, the three Sonic movies will have come out by the time that this thing comes out. Right. I'm excited to see it. Maybe it'll be a train wreck and it'll be awesome. Or maybe it'll be good and it'll be awesome.
He's got, what, Chris Pratt and...
John Leguizamo? No, not John Leguizamo. Charlie Day.
Charlie Day, yeah.
Yeah. Anya Taylor-Joy, friend of the show.
She's in everything.
Yeah.
Like, the woman does not sleep.
I don't know who she is.
She was in The Queen's Gambit. She was
that
in,
girl.
Yeah. Did you watch, what was that, Last Night in Soho?
Last Night
in
Soho?
Yeah, that girl.
Yeah, she was a character in that.
Cool.
Yeah, she's like all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
She got a new movie coming out with... Did David O. Russell directing?
Is it a boxing movie?
No, but it's got... what's his face? I can't think of his name.
Mark Wahlberg?
Russell
Crowe.
Who was in The Fighter?
Mark Wahlberg.
The other guy.
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale, thank you. Christian Bale's in it. On top of, like, De Niro and Rami Malek and, like...
Oh, shit, okay. People.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Again, to call back, David O. Russell's kind of making a Robert Altman scenario happen in here. He's got, like, 20 recognizable names in this movie.
Let's see where. Oh yeah, but then You talked about the theme parks and how you're gonna have rides and shit at theme parks.
I'm not going to California.
And then like he spent some time talking about Pikmin Bloom, because like Miyamoto really likes Pikmin. It's kind of his brainchild. Aside from like Mario and Zelda, is probably like the most recent IP that he came up with. So he really wants people to like Pikmin. No one's gonna. It doesn't matter how much you get into a Nintendo record talk about Pikmin Bloom. No one gives a shit.
I think he did sorry. Troll us.
Maybe. Maybe beforehand. It was a troll.
Maybe it was just a straight up troll.
Maybe it was like, I'm gonna talk about a mobile game, like the only mobile game we have left going right now.
Like, you guys, I'm you fucking guys Miyamoto.
You guys haven't seen the income statements. For all you know, like Bloom is funding every other Pikmin related thing you guys like.
I have seen the statements. It's Fire Emblem Heroes that's doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's making them all their mobile money. Well, yeah, but then he finally did announce a game, Pikmin 4, which I guess was maybe technically already announced like 7 years ago. Miyamoto said, like, oh yeah, we're working on Pikmin 4. It's almost done. He must have been talking about a different game, because 7 years later, here we are, and he says, coming next year. We didn't see much of it, but what we did see, it looks very nice. Pikmin's always a very nice-looking game. Didn't actually see any gameplay in action. I would not be surprised if this ends up being a game that gets pushed out of 2023, because we haven't seen much, but who knows? They say 2023. I have no reason to doubt them at this point. I'm excited for Pikmin. Do you guys don't like Pikmin?
I never played a Pikmin game.
I fucking love Pikmin. They're so good.
It looks like it's an enjoyable experience. I've just never bothered to get a Pikmin game and play it.
It's a weird take on like an RTS. I mean, there's no like base building or anything like that, but it's a lot of like unit management and multitasking. And that's the thing I like the most is, okay, I gotta get this big squad of Pikmin, and I have like these 6 or 7 things I need to do. If I split them up and send these ones this way and have these ones work on this thing, and then I'll go do this other thing. It's a lot of multitasking, trying to maximize your efficiency. Now, if only they could eliminate the graphics entirely and just have it be equations, it would be perfect.
You just want to see a bunch of bars slowly fill up.
Yep.
And then you and allocate then, like, the resources.
Then maybe click on a few things every couple of seconds to make the bars go faster.
Nice.
It'd be perfect.
There's a map in the corner for some reason.
Game of the year. Maybe that's what the bars are doing. The bars are filling in a map.
There you go.
Let's see. Just Dance 2023 is coming out in 2022. That's great. Harvestella is that Square Enix farming game. That one's out November 4th. This one's a bit more of a action RPG as well as a farming game. But here we go, farming games. Bayonetta 3 is out October 28th. We got a little bit more information on that one. Either guys interested in Bayonetta?
I want to be.
You should be.
I just never played any.
Yeah, I've never played it really. That looks cool enough.
Yeah, I really like Bayonetta. And if like you just want like a straightforward, you know, action game doing like silly combos and shit, nothing that's like open world or having to do like all this exploration. Like, no, I just want to like go through a level and beat up some people. Bayonetta's the way to go.
Yeah, they're all very flamboyant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really like the sort of bombastic tone of all these games. Like, they're just weird and dumb, which is great. Rain Code is Spring 2023. This was like a visual novel-looking game from the makers of Danganronpa. I don't know if you guys are familiar with those games, but they're like visual novel detective games. So, yeah, something akin to maybe like a Disco Elysium kind of thing, except you're not going to have like the stat building through conversations. We got some cloud games, fellas.
How about that?
Yeah, Resident Evil Village, Resident Evil Biohazard, the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remasters.
That's for real. I don't think I own a single cloud game, but I mean, for these titles, it would be worth it.
I've
got good broadband.
It depends on how bad the graphics are.
Well, it's a cloud game.
If they're running in the cloud.
It's as good as it renders in the cloud, yeah.
Yeah, then it shouldn't matter. Then the hardware shouldn't matter if you're just streaming the game through the cloud.
Yeah, it's like, is your broadband package good enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
yeah. This is not the first time they've done cloud games, and
the big problem is, like, you know, it feels like there's a shelf life on that. Like, what if they just decide to shut down the cloud or shut down the servers that run these games for you?
And one day they will. So it depends on how much you value. Okay, I'm paying for access to this game rather than to own it.
Which, I mean, I thought about this recently. I was like, oh, what about those old games that I wanted to keep? Because maybe I want to play them again one day. I haven't turned on my PS3 in like years and years, and there's so many games on that. I'm like, I'm never gonna play that again. But it's like the fear of, well, not really like a fear, but it's like, what if I want to play it again and have nostalgia moments? Like, no, there's plenty of stuff coming out every year that, yeah, I could play this game and just watch it slip away into oblivion.
Also, it's like, for what it's worth, I literally just did a playthrough of Link to the Past, and I didn't do it on my Super Nintendo with my Link to the Past cartridge, which I have. I didn't bother to set it up. I just went into the Switch and played it on the retro
console. Your parents were there to help you set it up.
Yeah, you know.
It's tough. You know, to what you're saying, Wes, it's a good point. Like, if we didn't do a retro show, there's no way that I would have been hooking up my N64, and I probably wouldn't hook my GameCube up all that often if we weren't getting to GameCube stuff.
Are you going to hook up your Wii? Because isn't Wii backwards compatible for the GameCube? Can't you just put your GameCube disc in there and play it?
I think your Wii is dead.
Yeah, but my Wii, yeah, the disc reader in my Wii is, let's say, not functioning optimally. Sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't. I could put it in my Wii U, which is still functional, and that is backwards compatible with the Wii, but not the GameCube. So it's still beneficial to have a functioning GameCube for the purposes of doing a retro show. But, you know, I still like having the physical media personally, because it's, you know, a chore that I'm going to give my children when I die. Like, go through all my shit and figure out what to do with it. I mean, you know, like, if things ever hit the fan and I need to leave the country in a hurry, I'd have things that I could liquidate. I don't know. It really is mostly a vanity thing. I like having these things on the shelves. But there's no way that we would be getting these Resident Evil games on the current Switch hardware. We'd have to wait for probably a successor system before these.
Yeah, so we know Switch Pro is coming out. Yeah, Switch Pro, yeah, Switch Pro is coming out.
We're right at the end of the Direct. We're getting to that. But I would recommend, like, there is a demo. There's a demo for one of these Resident Evil games that you can test out for a few minutes, the cloud connection, see how it works for you. They have done cloud games on Switch before. I've never heard good things about how they perform going through the cloud. Maybe this will be different.
Takes two to tango. Half the time there's a problem with the cloud game, it's because your internet's slow.
I'll just buy Village for my PS4.
I think that was part of the Direct, right? The Switch is going to have a PS4 add-on. So you can play your PS4 games on a Switch.
Yeah, it'll send you a PS4 that has the HDMI output. You can put your Switch on top of it and dock it into your PS4.
Shut the fuck up, Wes. Talk about PlayStation.
Which, I mean, I've never heard of a PlayStation. What is this?
Yes.
I mean, I gotta say, like, with the exception of you, who just recently got a PS4, which isn't that recent.
A year and a half ago.
Whatever.
I got it before It Takes Two came out.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like the average gamer, if they're like our age, if they have a Switch, they probably got like an Xbox or a PlayStation.
Maybe.
So maybe. I mean,
I've never owned an Xbox, and the last PlayStation I owned was a PlayStation.
There's exceptions, but like the average one.
I know. I'm not everybody, but
you are everybody.
Like, I got a PlayStation. Screw. I'm not playing Cloud Resident Evil.
I like being the iconoclast. I like being the one that goes against the current. You know, and
you're not playing Resident Evil anyway.
I'm not anyways.
You know,
although Village does look interesting.
The Resident Evil 2 remake is really, really good. And Ryan, if the cloud performance is good, like if you're able to test the demo, Resident Evil 2 remake, highly recommend. Super good game. Yeah. When the physical version eventually comes out on the Switch Pro, Switch 2, whatever we want to call it, I will be buying it again.
Yeah,
I think they should call it a Switcheroo. For the Switch 2.
Okay.
So the Switch 2 is the Switcheroo.
That's what they already call the Australian Switch.
Perfect.
There we go.
Let's see. Sifu is like a ultra-violent beat-em-up game that was
which
in number 8.
Just now coming to the Switch.
Is that a game that was on another system?
It's been out for a while.
Do you mean like a while? Like,
I don't know.
We need
it's
to
a
like
while.
Establish a time frame with what a while
it's been
means.
Out since June. I'll tell you it was 2017.
I can't remember. Sifu release.
Because, like, the time has very little
February.
Meaning. That doesn't seem like a while. That was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, a while would be, like, from here to February. Long time would be year plus.
So this one's coming out in November. February is 9 months. We make a baby. So, like, the time it takes to gestate a human is a while. Can we agree on this?
Okay, we'll go with the human gestation. Yeah, okay. we'll go with that.
The time it takes to create a human being.
It takes a while.
Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII Reunion is out December 13th. This one was previously announced. We got a release date. Wes, have you ever played Crisis Core?
I'm not. I wanted to, but I think it was a PSP game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And PSP sucks. So those who are PSP fans listening, you know it does.
Why didn't you buy a DS? What's wrong with you?
I had a PSP.
Why didn't you buy a DS? What's wrong with you?
I had a DS.
Good.
But the PSP sucked. Mm. But yeah, it was a PSP game. So this one's been out for a long time.
This one's been out for several humans.
Yes, multiple humans.
Ryan, you have any interest in Final Fantasy VII or any of its spin-off material?
I had a Game Gear back in the day.
Go on.
Yeah. You're talking about old handheld devices. I had a Game Gear. It was pretty sweet. Do you know how that thing just ate batteries?
Absolutely.
Like literally gobbled them up as though they were like there was a mouth that you just feed the batteries.
You did take them out. You put them in, and then you maybe
got like 3 hours of play out of 6 brand new AA batteries. It was truly brutal. God.
Yeah, that is tough. A friend of mine, since we're talking about old Sega hardware, had this thing called a Sega Nomad. I don't know if you guys remember this, but the Sega Nomad was basically a Sega Genesis, but in like a Game Gear form factor. You actually put Sega Genesis cartridges into these things. This thing probably demolished batteries.
God, this thing was probably around in what, like February?
Yeah.
A little while ago.
This has been out for a long time. So, but it came with an AC adapter and an RF adapter to actually put into your TV so you could actually just use it as a Sega Genesis. It was like a Switch a while before there was a Switch.
Nice.
That's where they got the idea.
The Sega Nomad.
Yeah, the Sega Nomad is the inspiration for the Switch.
They're looking at the Sega Nomad like 25 years from now, guys. We're going to do this better.
I had the Sega Genesis, but I also had the extra battery pack that was rechargeable.
Do you mean the Game Gear?
Was that what it was? The big black one with the tiny screen?
Yeah, what size cartridges did it take?
They were just like the little squares.
Probably Game Gear then.
Yeah, the Game Gears. But I had the extra battery pack, which made it like super thick. The one that the kids playing in Surf Ninjas. You're welcome.
How many
you
times?
You are so fucking welcome for that Surf Ninjas reference.
Do we have to tell you? You are not allowed to reference Surf Ninjas
that,
on this
that
podcast.
That movie is a joy just a blessing on humanity.
This is getting cut. All this
screw
is getting cut.
Screw you. But what? Maybe. What if I lose this power?
So, Final Fantasy VII Reunion, I'm actually pretty excited for it. I want to give this game a shot. Radiant Silver Gun is a Sega Saturn shoot-em-up game, really similar to Ikaruga. Treasure, the developer that made Ikaruga, made Radiant Silver Gun a while before Ikaruga, though. That one got Shadow Drop. That one's out immediately, so you can go get that one if you want. Sega's making a game called Endless Dungeon because they're competing with Square Enix for dumbest name. They're bringing that out sometime next year. It's like a three-player roguelite where you're just trying to escape whatever dungeon that they're in.
But it's endless, so...
Right, so you play forever. You start playing, then you can never stop. It's like if a purr-ugly stares at you. Tales of Symphonia is getting a remaster next year. It's a GameCube action RPG. Life is Strange Arcadia Collection. They showed that one again real quick. That one's out at the end of this month, the 27th. We knew that already. Romancing Saga Minstrel Song Remastered is out December 1st. This is another Square Enix RPG. They just keep on going. Lego Brick Tales out this fall. Disney Speedstorm sometime this year. Disney doesn't know yet. They're running out of time, but they still say it's this year. They're probably like waiting for like there to be no new Mario Kart 8 content, but they keep on announcing more Mario Kart 8 content. So I'm like, you motherfuckers, let us release our game. Fall Guys Season 2. Guys into Fall Guys? Do you care?
Played it a couple times, yeah. But yeah. I think it's like a free-to-play now.
And then we're right up at the end here. This is probably the stuff Wes has missed. Kirby's Return to Dreamland is getting a remake. This was a Wii game. And this one's also coming out February 24th. It's a magical day with Atelier Ryza and Octopath Traveler 2 and Kirby.
Which one am I going to get?
All three. So yeah, Return to Dreamland was one of the first in a long time, in a while. It had been like 9 months since they did like a 2D side-scrolling Kirby game. This one they released on the Wii. It's getting an HD remaster. You got playable characters. You got Kirby. You got Meta Knight. You got DDD. You could be a Waddle Dee. Ripley's going to be really into this one because she really likes Kirby, specifically the side-scrolling Kirbys. So I'm looking forward to this one so that she can steal my Switch from me. And then finally, we already talked about it, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. It was a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 40-something minutes long. It's a lot of content.
Yeah, yeah. And
probably still good 25 minutes of non-farming gaming.
But those are the 25 minutes we don't care about. We need more farming games.
I mean, can you blame them? Like, fucking... Like Animal Crossing sells, and granted, Animal Crossing isn't really a farming game, but you could tell that that's what they're going for. Mm. These like slice of life, laid back kind of games. Like, it was so successful. They're trying to do that thing, and now everyone's trying to do that thing.
Animal Crossing hits this weird sort of like, there's just barely enough gameplay that keeps people coming back to it, because like you can go into Animal Crossing and not actually do anything. Kind of like wander around and just talk to the NPCs on your island, just be done with it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like all these other developers and publishers are like, well, how do we duplicate that? Like, what's our actual gameplay? Whereas like Animal Crossing is kind of the Seinfeld of video games. You don't really do anything. And all these other games that are trying to be Animal Crossing are trying to like make games where you do things. And that's not what Animal Crossing is. So I don't think anyone's quite hit that magic yet. And I think that what's that game? Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
They're trying to take a lot of the stuff from Stardew Valley as well.
Yeah, but Stardew Valley is also one of those games that has just like obscene depth to it, where it's like if you get into it, it's one of those games where you're just like,
yeah, that one's been out for a long time,
obsessing over. So
yeah,
but yeah, there's certainly a crowd for it. I'm sure some of these games will be successful. Mm.
You know what we didn't see in this direct? Advance Wars.
Yeah, what's the deal?
I don't know.
You know?
Are Ukraine's on the counteroffensive? You'd think that they would just go ahead and release the game now.
Mm-hmm. You know, like how they're on the up. Maybe now we can follow in behind with Advance Wars, you know, rally the troops.
Maybe that's what Nintendo's done, is they told Zelensky, it's like, once you take back Crimea, we don't know this, right?
But the game's held hostage.
Intel on the inside, Zelensky, crazy fan of Advance Wars, like, psycho fan of Advance Wars.
I think that they should tell us, because I'll be, like, in Ukraine in a few hours, after taking Crimea. All I gotta do is show up with a water pistol and Russian troops will run scared.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I really want this Advance Wars game to come out. I don't know when they'd release it, because, like,
I just got a mental image of, like, the troops in the battlefield in the dugout, and they pull out, like, a locket from underneath their shirt that's supposed to be filled with, like, a picture of their loved one. It's just a picture of Advance Wars, like, we can do this.
Yeah.
it's what's a warm one. Think it is? You think it's Max?
Great.
Can't be Olaf. Great. I think it's Grit. Yeah, I think
it's got to be Grit.
Grit's very defensive. Mm-hmm.
Let's do this for them.
So yeah, let's take a break, and then we'll
come back with whatever.
Yeah.